Begin the current daf Masechtas Becharis daf Yud Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, that is, we brought a machlekes in the Braisa regarding is there a minimum of the pidyon petach hamor regarding the seth, the sheep that takes the place of the firstborn donkey. We had a machlekes if there's a minimum of it being worth the value of a shekel, or if it's even a kosher, even a small amount. Avadim Rav Nachman, the paskins the halacha k'divrei chacham. The halacha is like the words of the sages that they hold that the redemption of the seh, as they learn it from tifta, even with a kosher, even if it's a minute amount, it doesn't make a difference. That will still be valid for the redemption of the petach hamor. And that says Gemara v'kaman, how much, how little would that be? So Rav Yisuf says a full of patroiz. He says even a very thin and frail sheep that's bar danka, that's so small that it's only worth a ma'ah, which is a sixth of a dinar. That's what danka is, it's a sixth of a dinar. Even very, very little value, that's going to be sufficient according to the Chacham. Amarava, he says, Avanan Namtinin, he says, we also learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that God will cut, that the pidyon petach hamor, that sheep could be whether big or small, and therefore it could even be very, very small. Now, says the Gemara, Pshita, the Gemara asks on Rav Yosef, well, obviously it could even be patruza because the Rabbanan's words were kosher, even a minute amount. What's Rav Yosef teaching? Says the Gemara, no. Ma'u d'tei mekuli ha. You would say maybe that much, that little, that it's just a sixth of a dinner, that loy, that wouldn't be valid. So, inami, that even if we said that it could be small, but patruza, but to be so frail and small, that loy, that wouldn't be valid. That's Rabbi Yosef's teaching. No, even patroiz, even a small, little, frail sheep is going to be valid because it's still cultural. It's a minute amount. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Havalei Petach Hamor. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, he had this firstborn donkey. Shadri l'kamed Reb Tarfon, he sent in front of Reb Tarfon, and Amalei said to him, Kama be'ina l'mesa l'kain. How much do I have to give in the transfer of the redemption of this firstborn donkey to give to the kain, which is called the pidyon petach hamor? So Amalei said to him, Hare Amru, they said, Ayn yafa b'sela, a generous eye, who's generous in spirit, he gives it worth a sela. Ayn ra b'shekel, a stingy eye gives a half of a sela shekel. Painis b'rigya, a middle type of a person gives a rigya. And Amar Rabbi says, Hilchas b'rigya, halacha is that a person should give a rigya. V'kama, how much is a rigya? T'losa zuzi, it's three zuz. And therefore that's why it's called rigya, because rugal hacha, it goes here and it goes there, where it's less than a sela, but it's more than a shekel, because it's instead of being four zuz and or two zuz, it's three zuz. It's somewhere in between the sela and the shekel. Now, but the Gemara asks, Kasha hilchasa hilchasa. We have a contradiction in halachas that the Gemara just said. Here we're saying that the halacha is you give a rigya, and before we just said the halacha is like the chacham, that you could even give a bar danki, which is just a sixth of a dinner. So it's Gemara like Kasha, it's not difficult. Khan, this that we just quoted from Rav is Bibali Molech. A person comes to ask, what should he give to the kain? Then we tell him, give a rigya. But Khan, Ba'isa Ma'atzmai, the halacha we said before, when he's doing it on his own. When he does it on his own, he gives a bar donkey, so then we're not going to force him to give more, because ultimately he gave even a kosher, which is valid according to the Chacham. Continues the Gemara, Bitzchukim Rish Lakish. He says, Mishi Yeshle Petach Hamor. Someone has a firstborn donkey. Ve'in Laselev Daisa. He doesn't have a sheep to redeem it. So the halacha is Paideu Bishavya. He can redeem it in whatever the value of the donkey is. He gives that value to the kain. Says the Gemara Laman. According to whom is this halacha like? Elim Rabbi Yehuda. Everything is like Rabbi Yehuda. But Omar, he said, as we quoted previously, Daf Tesam Abayz, Hikpida Lav Terbisa. The Torah is particular that the redemption has to be with a sheep. Now, although we actually had explained on that sugya that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't talking about when it's the value. And we said, even Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara shortly actually is going to say too, that the value, of course, you could do. But when it's anything else that's less than the value, it has to be a sheep. But the one who's asking the question over here understands it as we had originally understood that Gemara there too, that no, he's particular, whatever it is, value, less than value, it always has to be a sheep. So obviously, it can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda. El Reb Shimon, rather, must be that this halacha is like Reb Shimon, who holds the Torah, was not particular about a sheep. And there, so what we're saying, if you don't have a sheep, then you redeem it with whatever is worth that same value. Now, Rav Acha Masdi Hachir. Rav Acha taught this halacha of Rish Lakish the way we just said it. But Ravina Kashla, Ravina had a difficulty with this, is why you explain the halacha of Rish Lakish like Reb Shimon? Because Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, when there's a disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara in Erevin says in Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis. So why are you paskening his halacha like the one whose halacha is not like? The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Moreover, v'saslam l'tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, unspecified, was said anonymously, Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Tana of our Mishnah, as we pointed out previously, previous Daf, that the Petach Hamor, the firstborn donkey, is prohibited to have benefit from it before it's redeemed. As our Mishnah said, Mafresh Tle, even though he ends up keeping it, he has to separate a sheep to remove the prohibition. What prohibition? Because it's forbidden to have benefit from beforehand. That's like a Behudah. Shimon says it's permitted to have benefit. So you see, the Tanava Mishnah said Allah is like a Behudah. V'ad Amrit, and you're explaining your teaching of Rish Lakish Halacha Krib Shimon? Sela rather, says Ravina, a filaterma Behudah. You could even say the teaching of Rish Lakish is like a Behudah. And the reason why is, although he said it has to be redeemed with a sheep, but that's what he says, Lo yehe chamim in a hektish. Pidyon Petach Hamor is not more stringent than the laws of hektish, where you can redeem something from hektish, from consecrated temple status to Hashem, with any money that's worth its value. The law Amr Terba said, and this that the Terba said, it has to be with a sheep, the way Yehuda said, that was not said lahachmer love, to be stringent on him, to say that, no, you can't redeem even with its value, only with a sheep. And the lahachmer love, that was to be a leniency, to say that if you redeem with a sheep, then you can redeem it, even like we said before, from the Chacham of Patruzi, even a small amount, that's a leniency. But of course, if you don't have a sheep, you could redeem even according to Yehuda with whatever is worth its value. As the Gemara brings that, and the Gemara says, Rav Nechemya, Bered Rav Yosef, Parkle Bashilki, he redeemed the firstborn donkey with cooked vegetables, Bashavi, that was worth its value. Continues the Gemara on these halachas. Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Huna. It says, Apay de Petach Hamor Shel Chaveri. Someone redeems the firstborn donkey of his friend. Halacha is Pidyane Padai. His redemption is a redemption. It has redeemed and has removed the consecrated, the prohibited status of the original donkey. It's redeemed, and he took care of his friend's obligation. The following question, do we say that the redemption is for the one who redeemed it, meaning the one who redeemed it with the sheep, now the Petach Hamor, the first donkey, becomes his, because he's the one that redeemed it? Or maybe that, no, the redeemed donkey is retained now by the owner. His friend just took care of his obligation and gave the sheep to the kohen. So the Gemara explains that Alibud Reb Shimon Lo Tibaylach. The question is not going to begin according to Reb Shimon, continuing from the Machlekes Yehuda Reb Shimon we just mentioned before, because Kivin the Amam Mutabano, since he said, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, that he holds that the firstborn donkey, even before it's redeemed, is permitted for the owner to have benefit with it. So Mamayin the Bailamu. So that firstborn donkey is money owned by the owner, because he has monetary value for him. So therefore, this guy who's redeeming it, he doesn't have any rights to it. And therefore, what he's redeeming, the redemption goes to the owner. And what he did for the owner, fine. It's like the Talmudic terminology that hinich ma'isav akeren atzvi. He's put his money on the horns of a deer where he's going to run away with it. Here too, he took care of his obligation, but it's a loss for him because he's not getting this guy's, it's this guy's money, the donkey. The fact that you redeemed it, you took care of his obligation, fine. But it doesn't become your donkey now. Ki tibay alib de Yehuda. The whole question could start according to the opinion of Yehuda. The Amma that he says, Asba, no, he says, before the donkey is redeemed, it's forbidden for the owner to have benefit from it. So, would you say, Lehektish medamile? So then it's compared to Hektish. It's owned by Hashem. This donkey is not yours. This item of Hektish is not yours. Now, Rahmanam, the Torah says, Vim hamakdish yigo. Okay, so if the one who sanctified this item redeems it, then it says in the passing, V'nasna kesa bekamle. So he gives the money, and then it becomes his. Which from the pasuk it sounds like whoever gives the money, that consecrated item becomes his. So therefore, just like by Hektish, the one who gives the money becomes his. So here too, Petach Hamor, it's forbidden, it's like Hektish. Whoever gives the money, this other guy, it becomes his, the donkey. And maybe it's his. Or maybe no. Kivin the Kanolu, since ultimately the firstborn donkey, even according to Behuda, is acquired by it's owned by the owners. To the fact of the element of bibeni ubeni, at least to the sense that what's the middle value? Because although it's forbidden for him to have benefit from the donkey, but he could redeem it with a sheep that's even worth a small amount of money. So although you're right, in the totality of the donkey, that's not acquired by him as long as it's not redeemed, but still it's considered his money because the donkey could be worth $100 and the sheep could be worth $5, and there's a $95 value that he has there in the donkey. So like Dami Hektish, it's not the same thing as Hektish, that he has no invested value in this Hektish item at all, whereas here he doesn't. Maybe it would go to the owner. So Amrav Nachman, this is Tashma. Let's bring it right from the following braisa. The braisa says, "Hagoyniv petach hamor shel chaver." Someone steals the firstborn donkey of his friend. Says the braisa, "Misham tashlumi kefil labayim," like the classic laws of Geneva. When he gets caught with witnesses, he has to pay double the amount of what he stole to the owners. Now, va'ava pishein le'achshav. Now, even though really right now the owner doesn't have any vested ownership in this firstborn donkey, but yesh le'achim mekan. but he will have later on when it's redeemed. So therefore, it's as if it is right now his, and therefore it's like you stole from him, and therefore like a regular person that you stole from, you have to pay double for what you stole. Now, says the Gemara Mani. Says Rabbi Nachman, who's the Tana of this Braisa? Elam Rabbi Shimon, if you think it's Rabbi Shimon, Amai in Layakshav, what's the Braisa going through the whole logic? What do you mean he doesn't have right now ownership in the firstborn donkey? What do you mean? There's no Isra no. He does. You're stealing a regular thing from a person. Of course you have to give Kevo. Elabshita, Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, it's obvious the Tana of the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And he's saying that even though right now it's Asaba no, but okay, really ultimately when he redeems it's going to be his, so it's like you stole. Now, but if you think, as we were entertaining before, that you need to equate the Petr Chamor before it's redeemed to an item of Hektish, and that was that part of the question that we thought, okay, so maybe the one who redeems it from his friend, he gets to keep it. But the Pasuk says regarding the Chiyuv of Kefil, the Torah says, the one who stole from the house of the person, of the owner, that's what the Torah says, that Yisham Shnayim, he has to pay double that of Kefil. Which the teaching tells us only be base ish, v'lo mi base hektish, but not if you stole from hektish. There's no tashlumi kefil for hektish. And if you're saying that you're chayiv, obviously we're not considering this part of the chamor as hektish, rather as the owner's. So says the Gemara Basulimi, this is nothing more to talk about. Obviously, even according to Behud, it's considered the owner's, not like that of hektish, and they were the one who redeemed it. Doesn't get it. It goes to the owner, and it's just like he did in his friend a favor, but he didn't get the Petach Hamor now. It still belongs to the original owner. Now the Mishnah continued regarding these halachas that we said when there was doubtful Petach Hamors, where let's say Achas Bikra, Achas Shaloi Bikra, where let's say one of the donkeys was its first time that it had a firstborn, one of them didn't, and so then we said out of doubt, you separated, depending on the case, chulu, etc. But then the Mishnah ended up saying that there's a halacha that the pidyon petach hamor is nichnas ledir l'asaser, goes into the pen to be tithed, like regular animals of ma'aseh behem, that the tenth animal is taken up, brought as a carbon shlam, and eaten by the owner in Yerushalayim. Regarding that halacha, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa elaborates on it. And the Braisa says, Ketzad amar nichnas ledir l'asaser. What was the case that they said that the halacha of the pidyon petach hamor, this redemption sheep of the firstborn donkey, that it goes into the pen with all the other animals to be tithed and then taken up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Iyatu Yochaloimer, says the Braisa, you can't say that Toma Bebol Yad Kayin, like the simple understanding of what we've been talking about, that it already came to the hand of the Kayin. Where if the Yisrael had given the Pinyan Pei Dechamar to the Kayin, then this sheep would never go into the pen to be, from all the animals to be tithed, which the tenth animal is given a mark, a red mark, neither if it's by the Kayin, or in a regular Yisrael. Because even if the Yisrael subsequently goes and buys it from the Kayin, or the Kayin gives it to him as a gift, either way, it's not going to have halacha of Ma'isa Behema. Sharei Shanina, because we learned in the Mishnah later on, the Afnun Heimed Beis, that says, Halakuach, v'shanit loy b'matana, regarding an animal, a sheep, that is bought, or is given to a person as a gift, patim Ma'isa Behema, it's exempt from the laws of Ma'isa Behema, it doesn't apply to something that a person got from somewhere else. So this that the Kayin got from the Yisrael, now whatever subsequently happens to it, if he sells it or gives it to Yisrael or it's by him, but it was given as a gift or sold, there's no law of Ma'aseh Behem over there. So that can't be the understanding of our Mishnah. Elaras rather says the Gemara, it's Toma B'Yisrael, Shehoyeloi Asara Safik Pitri Chamorim B'Teich Beisim. Toma a regular Yisrael that had 10 doubtful fruits, and this is how it relates to the Halacha of our Mishnah, where we talk about the doubtful cases of Petach Hamaris. It had 10 doubtful firstborn donkeys in his property. Now, for example, that would be, let's say, when they had 10 donkeys and they had Zachar in the cave, each one had twins, and we don't know in any one of them was the Zachar the first one, and therefore those males are chayiv in the firstborn, or were the firstborn the females, and therefore there's no chayiv. So he has 10 doubtful petach hamaris. Now, so the halacha is shemafresh alei nasor esoyin. So he has to go now separate for those, as which was the primary halachas of our Mishnah, he has to separate 10 sheep, which, like we said, to remove the prohibited status, because it might be a firstborn donkey, which is, like we said, like Rabbi Yehuda, which has a prohibited status before it's redeemed. So you have to redeem it. And Uma Astron, so then he goes and he takes those sheep, he has 10 sheep now. Now, those 10 sheep, he goes, like regular chulin animals, because since the halacha of mitzvah mechaber l'varaya, he gets to keep it because it's doubtful. So it's considered like regular chulin animals, those 10 sheep. He tithes them, but again, like we said, v'hein shalai, and he gets to keep it. And so then the 10th animal is ma'isa behema, and sacrificed like a carbon shalom, and he eats it like the regular halacha of ma'isa behema. That's the halacha that Amish is talking about, that will have a pidyon petach hamor, which is from the suffix petach amar, that then, yeah, since it's considered his like a regular chol animal, it will be taif in the laws of ma'isa behem. Says the Gemara, Masayel Rav Nachman. So this teaching of the way we explain the Mishnah supports Rav Nachman, because Dam Rav Nachman, Rabbi Ravu, he says the same halacha. Says Yisrael shahoyu lo yasar is safik pitrich amarim, a Yisrael that has 10 doubtful firstborn donkeys. Mafresh alein asar asarin, so because of that doubtful isser, he has to separate 10 sheep. U'ma'asun vein shaloi. So he ties them, but it's his, and he goes and brings up like a regular ma'isa behema, and eats it as a karmen shlom in Yerushalayim. Another teaching from Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rabbi Ravu on this topic, says Yisrael shahoyu lo yasar pitrich amarim vadoim b'teich beisek. It's a different case. Similar idea, where a Yisrael has 10 definite firstborn donkeys in his household. Now, but this case is taught about shenaflu mibeis avi imay kain, where he inherited this from his mother's father, who was a kain. Now, va'isi avi imay kain. Now, his grandfather, his mother's father, who was a kain, naflu lo, he inherited mibeis avi imay Yisrael from his grandfather, who was his mother's father, who was a non-kain, who was a Yisrael. Now, from the original great-great-grandfather, who he was the one that had these animals, since he was Yisrael, so they were obligated, these donkeys, in Pidgin Petach Amar, because they were born in the domain of a Yisrael. But then his grandson was a Kohen inherited, and then his grandson, the Yisrael, inherited from his grandfather the Kohen. Says Rav Nachman, the halacha is, Samafresh alein asor asoyin. So he has to separate on these Petach Amars, which are 10 of them that he inherited, which were firstborn donkeys, he has to separate 10 sheep to remove the Isser, which it had from when it was originally from the original owner, the Yisrael, that it was obligated at Chiyav. But u'ma'asun v'hein shaloi. But he could type them, and then, meaning to separate 10 sheep for those 10 donkeys, and he keeps the sheep, and then he types it, and then he keeps the animals, and that 10th one that he brings as a ma'isa behema, because the obligation that he has is from his grandfather, he inherited from, who was a Kohen. And that's what he does, like his grandfather, the Kohen, would have done. Now, the Kohen that had bequeathed to him, what he would have had to do was the same idea. He would have separated sheep for those 10 sheep for those 10 donkeys, which would have removed the sanctity that had taken effect on the firstborn donkeys from his grandfather, who was Yisrael. And then he would have taken the sheep for himself, because he's a Kohen. And he wouldn't have had to find another kind to give the pidyon petach amar to. So here too, his grandson, the Yisrael, is the same thing like the one who bequeathed him, because he gets the same powers of the one who was bequeathing it to him, which was a kain, which is what he could do with the sheep, just like his grandfather, kain, would have had to do. So there's an obligation, because ultimately he was born in the great-great-grandfather's house, who has a chiyuv, but the grandson, the kain, okay, he would have separated the pidyon petach amar and kept it for himself, because he's a kain, so his grandson, the Yisrael, could do the same thing. Similarly, another teaching from Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Barvu, he says, Yisrael, Yisrael, who had untithed produce that was already smoothed out in his property, meaning it's considered already that the work was finished in the obligation of Meister taking effect, because Miruach is the conclusion of the work of the grain, which is when you smooth out the pile with a special type of a shovel that smooths out the pile, and that's when the Chi of Meister begins. So this Yisrael has this pile of smoothed-out produce in this house. Shenaflu mebeis avi imekain, that he inherited this from his grandfather, who was mother's father, his maternal grandfather, who was a kain. Now, v'isi avi imekain, that grandfather, the kain, naflu loi mebeis avi ima Yisrael. He inherited from his maternal grandfather, his mother's father, who was a Yisrael. So it says of Nachman here too, ma'asrin vein shaloi. So he takes off the maestris, the trumas, and he could keep it for himself. Now, the chiddush that he's saying in this halacha is that even though this produce that is coming from his great-great-grandfather, which is from a Yisrael, where you could say that, okay, now it was a chiv because it was originally Yisrael, and he's also Yisrael, so he should have to give the truma to a kain, just like the original owner, the Yisrael, would have had that obligation. Even so, that's what he's saying, since in the middle was his grandfather, who was a kain, so it's as if his grandfather, the middle owner, the Kohen, had separated the Truma, and he bequeathed to his grandson, the Yisrael, each one separately. So the Meiser and the Chulin. So therefore, what his grandson, the grandson, the Yisrael, actually does, is that he separates the Meisers, but everything's his. And the Truma, which he can't eat because of the prohibited status, he gets sold to a Kohen. Rashi says, actually, the truth actually would be the same thing would even be if that this Kayin, unlike the first case, even though he didn't inherit it from his grandfather Yisrael, would be the same case because the produce of the Kayin himself actually is also Chayav in Truma. It's just that he wouldn't have to give it to another Kayin, he would just separate and eat it by himself. So essentially it's the same thing, but it's keeping the similar pattern of the previous halacha regarding that he inherited from Yisrael, which obviously is Chayav, and generally you'd have to give to another Kayin, but he could keep it for himself, and therefore his grandson could do the same. And says the Gemara Tzricha, and Rav Nachman had to say both halachas, that of the Petach Hamor and of this halacha of Truma. Why? The Yeshmini Kamai said, we only said the first case of Petach Hamor, Mishum de Kamafrish v'koy. You would say that a halacha over there applies because ultimately it's already has its exempted status. Why? Because sheep is one species, the donkey is another species, and there's nothing that's really lacking over here in the donkey itself. It's as if that he inherited from his grandfather, the Kayin, the donkeys by themselves, and the sheep by themselves. So it's already like a done thing already, and there's nothing that's missing over there. So maybe over there you would say, okay, fine, so he doesn't have to give anything to the Kayin. Aval hach, however, here in regards to the second case by the produce regarding the laws of Truma, where it's still lacking the separation of the matanis, so I would say matanis shlehumru kamish shlehumru damin. So the gifts that were not separated yet, it's not like they were already separated by his grandfather the Kayin. So actually there I would say not. I would actually say that it's not like they were separated by his grandfather the Kayin, and nothing changed by his grandfather Kayin. It's still in the original status it was from his great-great-grandfather, the Yisrael, and it has its original prohibited status, and therefore he would have to separate it, and yes, give it to the Kayin. So therefore you have to say the case of Tevel too. Now, V'yesh min ha'chad, we only said the second case of the Tevel, of the Truma, I would say, oh, maybe only over there that he could keep it for himself, is because the efshal asuri minei obey, because ultimately the tithes, the trumas, could be taken from this pile itself, the hamanach, where it's placed over here. So therefore, it is like it's already rectified from his grandfather Kayin. Aval hasim, regarding the halacha of pet chamar, kibin the sem alma bayasuya, since the sheep has to come from somewhere else, it's not from the donkey itself, and the Gersa takes out the next words of Mafresh V'kai. So Emolois, I would say actually that would not be the case, and actually maybe that there would be an obligation to like, okay, that's a new thing. It was never done from your grandfather Kayin, and therefore you would have to give those sheeps, the pinyon of the chamars, to the Kayin. Tzricha, therefore, is necessary to both cases. Rav Nachman says, no, it's like it was already rectified from his grandfather, although there's an obligation from the great-great-grandfather, but it was already taken care of, and he could do that separation, but then keep it for himself. Now, related to halacha, that Amr of Shmuel bar Nosson, Amr of Chanino, it says, Halikech tavalim, as we continue to mitbeis, mumurachin. If someone buys, same type of case, which we were talking about, a smoothed out pile of untithed produce, which already has the obligation, but he bought this min oivet kechav, from a non-Jew. The non-Jew had a field, and he already finished the production, and then the Jew buys that already finished pile. So halacha is, ma'asran v'hein shalai. So the Jewish buyer has to take off the tithes. He has to separate the trumas and maisers, but he could keep those tithes for himself. Now, he obviously can't eat truma, but he could sell it to a Kayin and he gets the value because he doesn't have an obligation to give it to the Kayin. It's owned by him. He could sell it to the Kayin and then get paid for it. So the Gemara says in this halacha, demarchinum, wait a second. Who smoothed out this pile of the non-Jew that the Jew bought from him? If you think it's that, yeah, the non-Jew, he totally did this all himself. He finished off the production of this grain. So, but then the pasuk says, when it talks about the chiyuv of truma, it says, "Reishis digancha amrachman." The Torah says, the first of your grain, which the word digancha is read digancha, which digun is the smoothing out of the pile. What you smooth out is obligated in trumas. But v'loy digan levekachavim, but not the smoothing out of a non-Jew. So there wouldn't even be an obligation in the first place. What are you saying? Ma'astrin vein shalai. You don't have to be ma'astrin. It's like regular exempted produce. Ella, rather, must be talking about the machinu Yisrael. A Jew smoothed out the pile. Mirshus levekachavim, more like your source have it. Birshus levekachavim. That there was a Jewish sharecropper that worked for the non-Jew. But the land was owned by a non-Jew. So it's the non-Jew's produce, but the Jew went and smoothed it out. So it's not digun oiv kechavim, it's actually digun Yisrael. The Yisrael smoothed it out, and it is digancha. So therefore, as the Gemara explains, his halach is ma'astrin, and you have to take off the tithes and take off the trumas, because the ain kinyan oiv kechavim Eretz Yisrael, a non-Jew does not have an acquisition in the land of Eretz Yisrael, lafkiyam yad ma'aser, to remove it from the halacha of ma'aser, and therefore there is an obligation. And on that level, it is considered the gancha. But v'hein shalai, but the Jew, although he has to separate the tithes, he gets to keep it. Again, he can't eat the truma because it is a halachic truma, But again, he could sell it to the Kohen, because the Amaleh, he could tell the Kohen, Kasina Mikir Gavri, says, I'm coming from the strength of a person, meaning I bought this grain from a person, from a non-Jew, Delay Matsisa Ishtur Din Abade, that you can't litigate with him. The non-Jew wouldn't have to give this to the Kohen, although it has halacha of Trumas and Maisis, but the non-Jew doesn't have that obligation. It says, and I bought it from him. So therefore, although, yes, so it has that status of Trumas and Maisis. Maisis I could keep it for myself, and the Truma I have to give it to you, but I don't have to give it to you. I can't eat it because it's prohibited as Truma, but he could sell it to the Kohen, and he could get that money because of this middle status that ultimately it's not the Gan Levi Kechavim because a Jew did it, so it does have the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maisis, but there's no obligation of monetarily giving it to the Kohen, and therefore he could sell it to the Kohen. Relating back to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following Mishnah. It's not Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Demai that says as follows: Hamafkid pay race of Eitz Lahakuti or of Eitz Lamaaretz. If someone deposits his produce by a Kuti, which the Kuthians were this middle type of a group that converted to Judaism, but they still had a questionable status, but they were Jews, the Eitz Lamaaretz, or regarding a Jew, but he's an ignoramus. So halacha is Becheskas on the Meister. It has a status that it's still remaining in its halacha of ma'aser, meaning if let's say the produce that he gave to the kuti d'amaretz was already tithed, you don't have to be concerned that maybe they switched it and now it's tevel, they gave you back untithed produce. Or ulishvias, the same thing is regarding the laws of the Shemitah produce, where we don't have to be concerned that maybe they swapped your produce with Shemitah produce, which that has limitations where you have to get rid of it before the time gets up for Shemitah produce. You don't have to be concerned for that. But Eitz Levi Kechavim, if you deposit your produce with a non-Jew, then it's Kippei Reisav, then it has the halacha like the produce of the non-Jew, because we think that for sure he switched it, and therefore it's you would have to go ahead and take off tithes again from it, because as Rashi explains, this Tana holds that the smoothing out of a non-Jew does not exempt. So even though it's Digun Levi Kechavim, there's a machlekes in Menachos and Daf Samach Vav Mabez if Digun Akum exempts or not. This Tana holds that it doesn't, and therefore it is obligated to tithes, even that of the Digun of Evi Kechavim, and therefore you know that for sure he switched it, and you would have to go ahead and take off the Trumas and Maisis again. Shimonim Demai. Demai is generally the terminology used for when one buys from Nama or its produce. We Demai, what is this? You don't know, did he take off the tithes or not? Seirosu, Reb Shimon's using in the borrowed sense this term demai, which we're not sure if the non-Jew switched it or not. Now, Amr Belaza, he qualifies this machlekes and he says, look, lahafrish, to separate Trumas and Maisis, kul amalei pligi. No one's disagreeing. That is, even Reb Shimon who says it's a doubtful, but out of doubt, that maybe it is obligated now because he did swap and his produce is also obligated in Trumas and Maisis, a Yisrael can't eat even doubtful tevel, which has a chiv of misa. So, of course, you would have to go ahead and separate all the Trumas and Maisus, where, in that sense, it's similar to buying this Demai from Nama Aretz, where you would have to separate the Maisus. So, no one disagrees on that. But, Ki Pligi Litnan L'Kain, their Machlekes is regarding, but this that you now have to separate, you have to give that to the Kain. Tanakama Savar Vadech Alfinu. The Tanakama holds that most definitely the non-Jews switched it, so it's most definitely Tevel again. Ubayim Asinu L'Kain, therefore you have to give it to the Kain. Which that's why we're introducing this Mishnah, where the Gemara is going to shortly ask and say, wait a second, didn't we say the halacha before that when you buy smoothed out produce from the non-Jew, that yeah, you have to take off the tithes. It does have the obligation, but vein shaloi, you get to keep it because you're dealing with a person that wouldn't have to give it. So I bought from him, I don't have to either give it. And here we're saying the Tana Kama holds that you would have to give it when you got it from the Kohen, or when you got it from the Akum, from the non-Jew, who that's what we're suspecting that he gave you his produce. But that's the Tana Kama, and Reb Shimon Sava Demai. Shimon holds that no, it's Demai, which is, yeah, you have to separate out of your doubtful Issa of Tevel, but the Alokh is a Mitzvah Mechabel of Arai, the Kohen that wants to go ahead and collect those Matanas from you. He has, the onus of proof is on him, so therefore, although the Yisrael can't eat the Truma, he could sell the Truma to the Kohen, and he gets to keep the monetary value. But now, as we mentioned before, this that we're calling a Demai is not the same as the regular, the classic Demai, where they're you have to give to the Kohen only 1/100th of the grain, which is the equivalent of the Trumas Meiser, which is when you give to Levi 1/10, he has to give 1/10 of that to the Kohen. And that's what you have to give when you buy from Nama Aretz to the Kohen. You don't have to give the 1/50th of Truma Gedolah too. The reason why here you have to separate all of it, question was, but do you have to give that to the Kohen or not? It's because there, as the Gemara says in Saita from Chesam and Alphas, because the Nama Aretz thinks that, wait a second, Truma b'dayla, he's going to give to the kohen. He realizes that that's punishable with death when it comes to things like truma. Meiser and those things he's not so concerned for. But he thinks to himself, what about Trumas Meis? He says, Trumas Meis is not my obligation. It's when I give to the Levi, 1/10, he has to give 1/10 of that to the Kohen, but that's not my obligation. So therefore, he doesn't separate Trumas Meis, and therefore, that's what you have to give to the Kohen when you buy Demai from Nama Oretz. But in our situation, where the doubt is for everything, when you buy from the non-Jew, well, maybe he swapped it, and therefore, you would have to separate not just Trumas Meis, but also Truma Gedoyla. Again, but then the machlokes is, do you have to give that to the kohen or not? But that's what, in this case of demai, you have to go ahead and separate everything. Machlokes was what you have to give it to the kohen or not. Now, yes, Rav Dimi become a losh maitis. Rav Dimi was sitting, he was saying over this teaching of Rabbi Lazar how he qualified this mishnah mesechtas demai. Avadam la'abaya, Abaya said to him, wait a second. Taima de mesafkalon. So wait, the reason of this mishnah is, as the case was, you deposited by the non-Jew, and you said for the Rav Shimon that, not sure. Ichalfinu, iloi chalfinu. We're not sure. Did he switch it? Did he not switch it? Now, havadi chalfinu, but if we know for sure that the non-Jew switched it, so then the kuliyama, then you're saying according to everyone, boilam esvin lekayin. That, of course, even Rav Shimon would agree then that you would have to give that trumas amayis that you're separating to the kayin. That's what the Gemara asks, but v'am Rav Shimon, om Rav Chanina, asked Abaya, the teaching we said before, halakech tevalam en oivik achav memurachan, but some abayis, produce that's untyped, that was already smoothed out, already finished. And then the Jew bought it from him, from the non-Jew. So we said, Ma'asun, you have to tithe it because it has obligation. But we said, Vein Shaloi, and he gets to keep it. And we explained that, what's that case talking about? That because if it was smoothed out by the non-Jew, we said that that has no obligation at all. We said that the Jew had smoothed it out as a sharecropper in the domain of a non-Jew. So if we're saying over here that even when there has the obligation, that we said that, okay, but still the Jew could keep it because he's coming from someone who wouldn't have to give it. So then why over here, when it's coming from the non-Jew, even if a Jew did it, whatever it is that there's a chiyuv, but why he could keep it? Why he's saying that if we know for sure that everyone agree you have to give it to the kohen? So it says, Abaye, Dilma, maybe that it's not a difficulty. Kan b'truma gedayla. Here in this Mishnah, where there's a machlekes tanakam and Reb Shimon, when it's doubtful, but and if it's definite according to everyone that you're gonna have to give it to that you're gonna have to give it to the kohen, is by truma gedoyla. Kam by truma smeiser. But the previous halacha of Reb Shmuel or Reb Chanina was talking about the tithe of the tithe, the truma smeisers. That then that's what he was saying, that yeah, you have to separate it, but you can keep it for yourself. Maybe that's the difference. So on that, he said to him, yes, Askarta Milsad Amir B'Shuman Levi, reminded me of a teaching of B'Shuman Levi had said, that he says, and this will clarify this differentiation, Menayin Lekech Tvalim Memorachim and Oivik Ochav. He's talking about this case, says, how do you know if someone buys smoothed out, untithed produce from the non-Jew, Shupater Mitrumis Meiser, specifically you're exempt from Trumis Meiser, which is the tithe of the tithe that generally is given to the Levi, and the Levi gives to the Kayin. How do you know it's on that that you can be exempt? Because as we're saying, regular truma gedayla, no, you're not exempt. That you would have to give it if you knew it came from a non-Jew. But if you buy it from the non-Jew, you're exempt from trumas meis. How do you know that? Shnema, because it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar. The pasuk says, "Ve'levim tidabe v'amartalem." To the levim should be said, and you should say to them, "Ki sikhum eitz b'nei yisrael," that when you take from the Jewish people, which the pasuk there continues, "Esa meiser ashen asati l'chamitam," the tithe which I said that you take from them, "benachalaschem," in your inheritance, "but v'arameisim men the trumas Hashem," but from that meiser you should separate an elevation of Hashem, meiser men a meiser, a tenth of that tenth, and that's what you give to the kohen, which is called the trumas meiser. But that says Rabbi Shuban Levi, what you see from the pasuk is tevalim shatalekech m'mnei Yisrael, untithed produce that you're taking from the Jewish people, which generally it's the Levi that's taking from the b'nei Yisrael. On that, at the mafresh men trumas ma'aser b'nei l'kain, that's what you have to go ahead and take off a tenth from that tenth and give it to the kain. But that's only because you're taking m'bnei Yisrael. Tevalim shatalekech m'nei kachavim, but regarding the untithed produce that you're taking from a non-Jew, that you don't have to separate trumas meiser and give it to the kain. So it's only regarding the halacha of trumas meiser that we have a pasi that says that's only from Bnei Yisrael, not from Akim. And therefore it's regarding that we said the halacha that doesn't have to be, yeah, you have to take it off, but you don't have to give it to the kain. Whereas from a gedayla that we don't have a pasuk excluding it, that even if you take it from a non-Jew, but if it has the chiyuv because it's not exempted because it's still considered the gantchol, let's say the case where the Jew had smoothed at the pile, then actually over there the halacha would be that you would have to give it to the kain, and therefore that's the case that we had inferred from the Mishnah Masechtas Demai, that if we knew for sure that was from a non-Jew and that it wasn't a suffix, that even Reb Shem would agree you have to give it to the kain. Now the Mishnah concluded and said v'mase. If the sheep, that's the pidyon pet chamor, died, so you could have benefit from it. So the Gemara wonders, demis hecha, where exactly did the sheep die? Elim with demis bekoin, if it died after the coin had already gotten it from the Yisrael, and we're saying, benenna bekoin, the coin could have benefit from it, pshita, obviously. Memoin didehu. The pidyon pet chamor, as we said, has no consecrated status. After it's used to redeem the firstborn donkey, it's like a regular animal. Of course, if it dies, he can use it whatever he wants it for. No, you're going to say that it died when it was in the house of the owner, before it was given to the kain. And we're saying, but then the kain, the kain could go ahead and benefit from it. He could use the dead carcass, whatever he wants to for. Hanam pshita, that's also obvious. Why not? So the Gemara knows, you would have thought to say, as long as the sheep didn't come to the hand, then loizachi bay, say he didn't merit it. It's only his once it comes to his hands. And therefore, now that it died, so it doesn't have the halacha of the pidyon pet chamor, and therefore it's actually, maybe we'd say it has a prohibited status as the donkey that it redeemed, and it would remain with that prohibited status. Kamash olam, that's in the Mishnah's teaching, no, d'me'idna de'afreshe. The moment it's separated, b'shusa de'kayin, it's already considered in the domain of the kayin, it's already his, and therefore it's already his mammon, as we said, and that has unconsecrated status, and therefore even though it dies, that's not like a carbon, he could use whatever he wants to, and then that's what the halacha is being said, that nenaboy, he could still go ahead and have benefit from it as his regular chulin animal.